72. And we'll just hit one of those verses again real quick here to set the context of what we'll be looking at today. So Psalm 72 and verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. When we look back at the account in Matthew and Luke and in Mark, Matthew gives us a description of three wise men. And we often overlap that with kings to get the traditional hymn, We Three Kings. And it ties back with this prophecy in Psalms of kings across the nations bringing gifts. It also ties with Isaiah 60 of wise men bringing gifts of gold and perfume. So let's take a look now in Matthew chapter 2 of this visit of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2 and 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The first thing we want to take note of here is that these wise men, they recognize the sign of the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Messiah. They recognized it. Now, whether we want to call them wise men, whether we want to call them kings, that doesn't matter so much. We know that they were people of power, that they were people of importance, and they came from a different land. They recognized the sign, and they went into action. Now, Mary and Joseph were there still in Bethlehem. Now, so this wasn't weeks or months or so, but this was still within a few days of his birth. Why is it important for us to kind of think of this? Well, you've got hundreds of years, all of Israel and the land have been waiting for the Messiah. Hundreds of years. And one night, a star shows up. Now, these three wise men, they recognize the sign. Now, these are people that are of prominence. They had things to do. They had things to take care of tomorrow. They weren't on holiday leave. They weren't on vacation. They had families. They had areas they needed to rule over, to guide. They had responsibilities. They were in the middle of their lives and the busyness of such. Now you can imagine such three prominent people, the responsibilities they might have in this time. But they saw the sign and they left it behind to go see this Messiah, to worship him. So they came to Jerusalem and they were asking around. Now the way that it's worded here, where it says they came to Jerusalem saying, meaning they said this more than once, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" You see, they came to Jerusalem, a Jewish city, a Jewish capital of nonetheless. And these three foreigners came in saying, "Where is he? Where is this King of the Jews? We recognize the signs. We saw the star. We've come. Where is he at?" They came to the capital of this religious belief system that was waiting for a Messiah to ask where. And the first person they came to didn't know, or else they wouldn't have had to say it again. And the next person they came to didn't know, or else they wouldn't have had to say it again. And that's why we get that active verb of saying. Over and over, they went across the city. "Where is this King of the Jews? We've seen the sign." We want to worship him. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. You see, they didn't know what was going on. Here they are, the center of this religion. And they didn't recognize the sign. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't have an answer for these wise men that came in. These kings. And it troubled them because they didn't know. Now they had the scriptures. They had the word. The same word that the kings in Tarshish had. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, and this would be Herod the king, and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So what he did was he brought together the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees being the chief priests of the city, and the Pharisees being the scribes, the law keepers, the ones that look and know every little dot, every little iota of the word. And he brought them together and he said, where is this Christ supposed to be born? So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You see, they knew the word. They knew it, but they didn't recognize the signs of what was going on. Now, something that we see behind the story and in the story. So we have these Pharisees and these Sadducees whose entire life is dedicated to their religion. That is what they do when they get up, when they go to bed. Now the sign is there. The star is there. But what we find here is even when the sign that they've been waiting for hundreds of years is there, you don't see a pilgrimage to Bethlehem. Does it tell us of how the Sadducees and the Pharisees then left all that they were doing, all their responsibilities, their families, to follow the star with the three wise men? It doesn't tell us that. Even the king, Herod at this time, doesn't join them. See, he knows now where Christ is supposed to be born. Those Pharisees, those Sadducees, they know where Christ is to be born. But to them, they had no faith in that word, what it really meant to them. So we see a large contrast here between three foreigners that were willing to drop anything that they were doing and everything they were doing to pack it up at the first sign of that star to come find this Christ. But the people that were supposed to be keepers of the word are too busy to do so. And they're troubled by it. We know Herod's troubled by it. We get more of an inkling of that here in a few. But let's look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men. You know, there's something in that word secretly. It reveals so much. The wise men come and say, hey, here's this star. They ask about the town. He calls together his Pharisees and his Sadducees and says, tell me where Christ is going to be born, Bethlehem. There's no public announcement. There's no presidential address. Christ has come. Now, secretly, bring me those guys over here to the side. We don't want to get a rising going. We don't want to get people too excited right now. Let's do this secretly. secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. When did you see this star? They didn't even see the star. But they knew the word, but they didn't even see the sign. They didn't even recognize the sign being right there in front of them. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him also." Not, "Let's go. Let me get the caravan together. Let's go. Let's worship him together." No. No, because that might cause some people to get excited. That might cause some ripples in the pond of my control. And we get a glimpse of the heart of Herod here. Now in verse 12, jumping ahead a little bit, I'm sorry, verse 13, jumping ahead a little bit, we see his true intent. "Now when the angel had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to," "appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" You see, Herod liked being king. He wasn't ready for some ruler to come in and take it from him. He wasn't ready for some shepherd to guide him. And if we go back to the scriptures that they read, the Pharisees and the Sadducees to him, they said, "For out of you shall come a ruler." Now a ruler is a stern leader, a strong leader. When we see that word ruler in the Bible, we see it associated with King Saul the most often. And Herod didn't want this. He didn't want a ruler over him. But they also mentioned, "Who will shepherd my people Israel." Now a shepherd's in contrast to a ruler. A ruler leads with strength. A shepherd guides with care. And Christ would be both. He would lead with strength and he would guide with care. And Herod wanted neither of those things. He wanted to be the ruler of Israel. He wanted to maintain his kingship. And he didn't want to be led, even with care. So he sought to kill this child. So he sends the wise men to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them." You see, that star led them to Jerusalem first. It didn't go straight to Bethlehem, or they would have followed it right to Bethlehem. It's going to move now and lead them to the east to Bethlehem. Now, why even stop? Why not have God just lead the wise men straight to Bethlehem? He wanted to reveal the hearts of those Pharisees and Sadducees. He wanted to test them to see where they really were. You know, they'd been studying his word for hundreds of years. But did they have faith in it? Were they willing to believe? To step out? To make that short little trip? See, now the kings of Tarshish, they had demonstrated their faith. They had come from a land far away. Who knows how long they'd already been traveling. But to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, that was nothing. Just a little faith, guys. Show it to me. Let me even try and inspire you. I will bring somebody from the other end of the realm. But they were busy. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before him, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, he wasn't in the stable at this time. We like to kind of imagine this, but these events didn't occur that same night. The shepherds didn't show up and the wise men the same night Jesus was born in the stable. That's not really how it came about, but that's the way we like to imagine it. Now, this is days after Christ's birth. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And they had come into the house. See, he wasn't in a stable at this time. He was in a house. And they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, two of these were prophesied. If we go back to Isaiah 60, just for a second. And 6. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. There's our Sheba again, from what we heard earlier in Psalm 72. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So gold and incense, we had been prophesied about. We'd been prophesied about these men coming from afar. But they didn't just give gold and frankincense. Now, gold was given as a symbol of kingship. Remember, he was a ruler. And he would be the ruler. So they provided him gold as a symbolism of his kingship, his rulership. But they also provided him frankincense. Now, frankincense was given as a symbolism of priesthood, the shepherd role, to lead them with care, to guide them with care, to teach them the word. So we have gold and frankincense, and both of those make sense, and they align with the scriptures and prophecies that they've read so far. But why myrrh? Myrrh wasn't a common gift. It didn't represent anything for rulership or priesthood. Myrrh's use was for embalming. That's what myrrh was used for. It was used to prepare the body of the dead. And God used these three kings, these three wise men, and their gifts to reflect what Christ would be to the world. Yes, he would be a ruler. Yes, he would have strict and strong leadership. And we will see that when he comes back. Yes, he guides and leads us with the soft hand to peace with the Father as the shepherd. We will see that today. We've seen it in the past. They saw it back then. But he didn't come for just those two things. He came to be the sacrifice. And to be the sacrifice, he would have to die. He would have to confront death. So myrrh was given as a gift to symbolize that death and that need for embalming in the future, preparing the body. We have three men that came from afar. They presented their gifts. And then in verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You see, when we meet Christ, do we want to go back the same way we came? When we truly have that experience with him as ruler, as shepherd, and as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, we can't go back the same way. So where are we today? We don't have a star coming for us. Christ in Matthew chapter 24 told us what's coming. If you turn with me to Matthew 24 and 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of this age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you seek the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world. Until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the power of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with a power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is where we are. We're waiting for this sign. When it comes, his word tells us not to turn back and even get our coat. We won't be confused about it. From the sun going dark and the moon stopping and the stars falling from the sky, there'll be no second guessing it for anyone. But we have to figure out, each in our own, what do we believe in? Just like those three wise men and all those Sadducees and Pharisees, what's really more important to us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you guide us, even with the simplest of stories. One we sing songs about and often miss the meaning behind each and every word. We thank you for this opportunity today to look at your word from what was in the past and how it applies to us in the present and in the future. God, we hope that you would continue to guide us. And as you provide us opportunities to talk to those lost sheep, that you give us the right word to show that tender care to lead them. So that when you come, they'll know which side of the war they fall on. We ask these things in the name of your precious Son, our ruler, our shepherd, and our sacrifice. Amen.